Jackson, W266DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Supreme Court justices weigh arguments over a bankruptcy plan for Purdue Pharma, the maker of OxyContin. The plan settled lawsuits against the company, but it also protected the owners by preventing people from suing them. CBS's Skylar Henry was at the Supreme Court.
Alexis Pleas, who lost her 28-year-old son Jeff to an opioid overdose, stood outside the Supreme Court.
They were responsible for creating the greatest epidemic that America has ever seen.
Urging justices to reject a bankruptcy settlement which would protect the makers of OxyContin from facing civil lawsuits for their role in the opioid epidemic.
I turned my life over to just trying to make sure that other people didn't go through this.
Skylar Henry, CBS News, the Supreme Court.
Israel says it's expanding its ground offensive in Gaza. CBS's Nancy Cordes at the White House is following the Biden administration's reaction.
We saw none other than the vice president this weekend and the secretary of defense come out and criticize Israel in no uncertain terms. The vice president said that Israel needs to do more to prevent civilian casualties. She said too many innocent Palestinians have been killed.
The war in Gaza is raising tensions across the entire region. Ballistic missiles fired by Yemen's Houthi rebels struck three commercial ships, and the U.S. military says an American warship in the Red Sea shot down drones in self-defense. CBS's David Martin.
We put the Houthis in the group of people who are called Iranian-backed militias, but in fact, the Houthis are not controlled by Iran. They are armed, they are funded, but Iran does not give them orders.
Former U.S. Ambassador to Bolivia, Victor Manuel Rocha, has been arrested on charges of secretly working as a spy for Cuba for decades and meeting with Cuban intelligence operatives. U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland.
Those who have the privilege of serving in the government of the United States are given an enormous amount of trust by the public we serve.
Rocha remains in custody until a bond hearing on Wednesday. Wasabi can clear your sinuses, and researchers in Japan say it can also improve memory. CBS's Matt Piper reports.
The spicy green condiment has a main active component called 6-MSITC. Participants 60 to 80 years old took it, and after 3 months saw significant boosts in two aspects of cognition, working or short-term memory, and the longer-lasting episodic memory up 18%.
Less than a week after getting booted from Congress, George Santos is making cash on Cameo. Santos is making $200 a pop for the personalized clips. Uber is set to join the S&P 500 index in the latest sign of a turnaround for the ride-hailing service. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
There's excitement surrounding Carroll University basketball this year. Head coach Lindsay Schultz and the Pioneer women are fired up to deliver.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Senate's new top Democrat says her goal is to make sure every member of her party has a voice in the legislature. Democrats elected Senator Dianne Hesselbein as their new minority leader Friday. She replaces Melissa Agard, who's running for Dane County Executive. Hesselbein is from Middleton. Service workers at Lambeau Field overwhelmingly voted to form a union. Over 80% of those who voted Sunday voted in favor of unionization. They're looking to join the Milwaukee Area Service and Hospitality Workers Union, which also includes workers at the Fiserv Forum in the Deer District in Milwaukee. Officials with both the Packers and Delaware North, the company that employs vendors at Lambeau Field, say they will negotiate with workers in good faith and hope to quickly ratify their first contract. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Packers beat the Chiefs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers over the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football. The final, Green Bay 27, the Chiefs 19. After a four-game losing streak, the Packers now won four of their last five games. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur on how the offense is improving.
Certainly there's a trust, just making sure that we get the protection that's needed. You know, guys in the receiver room and tight end room are making plays in the passing game.
The Chiefs fall to 8-4, and next week they host the Buffalo Bills. Chiefs defensive lineman Chris Jones.
I go by the 5-minute rule. You got 5 minutes to complain. You got 5 minutes to get it all out.
NBA, the Bucks getting ready to play the New York Knicks tomorrow night at Fiserv Forum. Milwaukee held on to beat the Hawks 132-121 over the weekend. Adrian Griffin.
You know, we played a tough Atlanta team that could really score the ball. I don't think they missed in the first half, and we just weathered the storm.
That's Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Cloudy skies overnight with a chance for snow. Lows around 29. Southerly winds around 5 miles an hour. Snow likely tomorrow. High of 38. A dusting of snow overnight through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history, going right to the front lines of history in the making, a lot of it made over this weekend. We're going to start again, sadly, with Tommy Tuberville. Tommy Tuberville. For 9 months, he has blocked officer promotions in our entire military. For 9 months. Just now, the USS Kearney was fired on in the Red Sea. Two commercial ships, friendly to us, were fired out in the Red Sea. The Kearney knocked the missiles down. 10% of the world's trade goes through the Red Sea, believe it or not. 10% of the world's trade goes through the Red Sea. And this Confederate white supremacist chicken hawk trader, Tommy Tuberville, is using unanimous consent to block promotions of our military. And a lot of generals and admirals now are putting in their retirement for the end of this month. We're losing hundreds of years of accumulated experience because of a Confederate white supremacist, because of a chicken Senate that won't do anything about it. Schumer is about to put in a resolution that would override unanimous consent, but it's being filibustered by the Republicans. So it takes 9 Republican votes to overcome the filibuster, and they don't have it yet. Here's the latest. 20 House members, Republicans, 20 House representatives, 20 House, including the Freedom Caucus, but some others, wrote to Tuberville over the weekend thanking him for his 9-month delay, his 9-month hold on military promotions. And there's more than 400 of them. It's not now just flag officers. It's any officer that requires Senate confirmation. One of the senators, the Alaska senator, went to him, and this is very, very sad, and said, Mr. Tuberville, would you consent to permitting the promotions of 3-star and below and just holding up the 4-stars? That is one of the most disgusting things I've ever heard, that they're negotiating with a Confederate white supremacist, offering him to hold up the most senior admirals and generals, the 4-stars. The way this works, you get promoted up in the Navy, the Army, the Air Force, Marines, up to colonel in the Army and up to captain in the Navy. When you go above that, you go above that in the Navy, that's rear admiral. It's that, it used to be Commodore. You've heard of Commodore Perry, John Paul Jones, you heard of him. He was a Commodore. A Commodore is an intermediate rank in the Navy that hasn't been used in a long time. That was one star. A rear admiral is two stars. Vice admiral is three stars. Full admiral is four stars. And in the Army, you have major generals, lieutenant generals, and generals. Major general will be two star, lieutenant general, three star, and so forth. The Alaska Republican senator went to Tuberville and begged him, instead of beating the hell out of him, instead of taking him and putting him in jail for being a traitor, begged him to say, okay, you can continue to hold up four stars. Let's hold the phone on that. The four-star generals and admirals are our senior military officers. Occasionally, five stars have been given. For instance, to Dwight Eisenhower in the Second World War. If you are commanding an entire theater of war, a consequential war to our country, maybe you get five stars. Tuberville said, no, I want to stop three stars and two stars. I want to stop all military promotions that require Senate confirmation because they're a bureaucracy. I think there are too many of them. He threw in the abortion thing. But then he said they're woke. How would a Confederate white supremacist from Alabama who never served know what woke means? What woke means is that some of these promotions are going to go to black officers and female officers. And he doesn't think they should be in the military. That's what he means by woke. I have never met a Navy or an Army officer or a Marine officer who, by any definition of the word, would be considered woke by anybody. They're military. They're very brave. Many of them, most of them have been in combat. Some of them have been wounded. People like Tuberville would run for the hills if they heard a shot fired in anger. He thinks he's a Confederate white supremacist, but you know, his kind, back in 1861, when the Confederacy started to draft an army, all deserted. Or they claimed they had to work the farm. Or they disappeared when the going got tough. They disappeared. So what's going to happen? Well, I'll tell you what's going to happen. Some of the Republican senators said, well, we will step up by the end of the year. But by the end of the year, you're going to have a lot of these people who will have retired and will have lost hundreds of years of indescribably important military experience. We go to the lines. Gene of Eau Claire, my friend, thanks for calling. Gene, what's in your mind today?
Well, hi, Matt. I mean, you know, these people are out of control, and they're a danger. They should not be in those offices. They're a danger to our security. They're a danger to our democracy. They're a danger, you know, to our country. And they just laugh it off, and they seem like they're not even serious about what's going on. And really, they all need to be replaced. This is just ridiculous. But thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Gene. I share your outrage, and I say this not just because I've served too, but people like Tuberville, when he describes military officers as a bureaucracy, he doesn't know what he's talking about. You need leadership. You need leadership right at the platoon level in the Army. You need leadership right at the deck division level in the Navy. In the Navy, your officer might be an ensign or a lieutenant JG. In the Army, it might be a second lieutenant or a first lieutenant. But whether it was in Vietnam or whether it's in anything having to do with the with the ocean, the high seas, what we call the brown water navy. The brown water navy, or navy where we have smaller boats go up rivers, they call it brown water navy. In Vietnam, you had the swift boats and that kind of thing. The blue water navy is what you think of as the navy, the oceans. But it's a big planet. It's a big planet with a lot of water in it. And there are a lot of continents with a lot of land on them and a lot of bad people. Soldiers and sailors need leaders. They need platoon officers and they need deck division officers, but they also, up higher, need captains of ships, executive officers of ships, commanding officers of regiments, of brigades. You want to know when potentially your life is in danger that somebody who has more experience than you and has proven him or herself are going to make decisions that minimize the risk to you but maximize the opportunity to effectuate your mission. And then you need leaders above them. This is not a bureaucracy. You need, it's not they sit around in the office somewhere and don't do any work. You need guidance. You need leadership. There's an admiral in charge of the second fleet, which is the Atlantic, the third fleet, the Pacific, the seventh fleet, the far Pacific, the fifth fleet, Bahrain. Right now, Tuberville has denied a commanding officer in Bahrain for the fifth fleet, and the USS Kearney, which is part of the fifth fleet, just got fired on. They should have an experienced commanding officer looking out for them. We're going back to the lines. Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind? Wisco Paul.
Hey, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. Very quickly, as someone that actually won the lottery, the only lottery I ever won in my life, you need leadership. If you don't have good leadership, people that can even basically read a map and stuff, you're going down, baby. And you need people you respect also. So that's my two cents. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, well, you hit the nail on the head. We need leadership. Soldiers need leadership. Sailors need leadership. Tom of West Allis, my friend, you're next. What's your mind, eh, Tom?
Hi there. Real quickly, I was listening to Liz Cheney this morning, and she had mentioned that she's trying to figure out what Tuberville's up to and said that it's possible that he is holding out so when Trump gets elected, he can put his own people, which really scares the hell out of me when he puts his own people in the charge of the military.
Yeah, that's an interesting, and I've heard that before. And I can tell you, as someone having been in the military, our service academies that produce our best officers uniformly produce patriots. So I don't think Trump is going to be able to find people that are crooked like him. I don't think they are, number one. Number two, they have to be confirmed by the Senate. And unless the entire Republican Party goes crooked, some of these people are not going to get confirmed. But number three, Tuberville cannot possibly, in my judgment, drag this out till January of 25. If he does that, and we have no officers, every single senator should be dragged by the heels out of office and thrown in the street. Because the Democrats could do it with 51 votes, if they had 51 votes, and just get rid of the filibuster for it, and unanimous consent just for military promotions, but they won't do it. Now, maybe it's because Manchin and Sinema won't do it. But I think it's because they like being in the club with the velvet slippers. I'm tired of all of them. Coming up, you're not going to believe this. Trump wants the officers who defended the January 6th insurrection criminally charged.
Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK. Be a part of the resistance. Check out The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson, Monday nights at 7 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK. and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Metro and Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, you won't believe this. I didn't believe it. Then I put it in context. This is the kind of thing that happened in Germany in the 30s. And now I do believe it. Donald Trump has announced that he wants the Capitol police officers who stood up to the January 6th insurrectionists criminally charged with assault for fighting the insurrectionists. Yeah, that's exactly what I just said. Donald Trump now wants the Capitol police officers who resisted the January 6th insurrectionists themselves to be criminally charged for, quote, fighting with the insurrectionists. Now, you have to know the context of this kind of diseased flip-flop of reality and truth. In the 1930s, this was a characteristic, and before that, actually Mussolini in the 20s, but Hitler and his party. If you do something enormously bad, in the case of Hitler invading Poland, in the case of Mussolini, many atrocities, you have to do two things. One of them, by the fascist playbook, is to lie and deny it or say that the other side did it to you first. And the second thing you have to do, whatever it is that you do, you deny it's you doing it, but it's the guy that you're doing it to is doing it to you instead. Now, the January 6th police were true heroes. You look at that video, they were badly outnumbered. One of them is down on the ground being stamped to death, and he begged and he said he had four daughters and he succeeded not getting killed. Another got his head caught, it looked like in a door, it was screaming. These cops were overwhelmed, beaten, punched, dragged downstairs by their ankles with their heads bouncing off the stairs. That's a good way to get a subdural hematoma. Another one was a very smart guy. He saw the insurrectionists coming up the stairs, and he knew that if they went into the Senate, you still had Pence in there and a couple of other senators. So he pretended to go the other way, and they followed him, and he decoyed them away from the senators who remained. Now, if you think through history about how this is used, it's used by people like Hitler. When he invaded Poland in 1939, remember, he invaded Czechoslovakia before that, and the British under Chamberlain went along with it. But when he invaded Poland, it triggered an awful lot of treaties, and it commenced World War II. Of course, we didn't get in until 1941 with the bombing of Pearl Harbor. But in any event, they set up a fake attack by Poland against Germany. There was a little outpost right near the border, and they had people, they sent Germans to that outpost to then fire a few shots into Germany. And then Hitler just announced that they'd been attacked by Poland. That's ridiculous. Poland in 1795 had been partitioned up among Russia, Prussia, and Austria. It didn't even exist for the entire 19th century. It didn't exist until after the First World War. That's when it went back on the map. So the First World War, let's say it ended in 1917. In 1939, 22 years later, you think that Poland, that had virtually no army, no equipment, had been from 1795 written off the map, suddenly decided to attack the most powerful army in Europe. And yet the Germans say, oh, well, I guess if he said it did, it did. This business of a fascist lying and saying that the other guy did it to him when he did it to the other guy is textbook. It's being played out elsewhere right now in this campaign. Over the weekend, Trump took all of the arguments Democrats are making about destroying democracy and just said right out of whole cloth, Biden's destroying democracy without any details. Suddenly, some of his supporters repeat it. You have to understand the nature of a fascist. You have to understand, and when I've said in the past, fascism creeps in on little cat's feet, it's galloping in on stallion's feet right now. You know, Liz Cheney just said a couple of days ago, we're sleepwalking into a dictatorship. This is exactly Hitler's tactics. Hitler said, Poland just invaded us. I must protect Germany. And then he invaded Poland, ended up killing 6 million people in the Holocaust and many more millions, Slavic people and otherwise. And then Stalin killed well over 20 million people. That's what they launched by line. To say, as Trump just said, that the Capitol police officers, law enforcement, should be criminally charged for defending themselves and the Congress, which was their duty, from people who are out to murder them. Because remember, hang Mike Pence. And Trump would say, well, they're just a bunch of tourists getting carried away. They had a gallows. It was a functioning gallows. That gallows was not constructed in 5 minutes when they decided to go up there. That gallows had been constructed days before by carpenters who knew what they were doing. They were there to kill Mike Pence. If Mike Pence had come walking down the hallway, they would have grabbed him and either stomped him to death or hung him. And then they were going around saying, oh, Nancy, oh, Nancy. They would have beaten her to death. They almost beat a cop to death. They would have beaten her to death. She's a, what, 100-pound woman? Older, very slim woman in her 80s. She's in her 80s now. I guess she was in her late 70s then. Maybe she was 80. They were there for murder. One of them got killed. One of the officers, remember, they had weapons because they were officers. They didn't want to use them. But the glass was breaking, and they were afraid they would come in, and there were many congressmen still on the floor. They had not yet been evacuated. And as one of them came in, an officer fired, as he was supposed to do, and he killed one of the insurrectionists. Trump wants him tried for murder. Trump is the guy that did a sing-along with prisoners, whom he refers to as hostages. Now, it's one thing if you're out there thinking of voting Republican to say, okay, I'm a Republican. It's quite another thing to be out there and say, I'm going to vote for a guy who says that he's going to criminally charge, and he would have his attorney general, if he put in a guy like Jeffrey Clark, criminally charge police officers for defending themselves, for defending themselves. And you can say even the six tarantulas wouldn't go along with that, maybe after long appeals. But if Trump doesn't provide attorney's fees for these officers, what are they supposed to do? This is sick beyond measure. It is very, very sick beyond measure. Coming up, news, weather, and guess who Trump is threatening now in New York when the gag order prevents him from threatening the judge, Engoron, and his clerk. Hey.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. The Supreme Court heard arguments about the fairness of a nationwide settlement with the maker of OxyContin. CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
There were strange alliances, liberals and conservatives. You know, they're clearly battling with this issue, but it didn't split under ideological lines.
The U.S. is putting pressure on Israel as the IDF pushes further into southern Gaza. State Department spokesman Matthew Miller.
We do not want to see a military campaign in the south that looks like the north. And what we mean by that, we do not want to see the same level of civilian casualties. We do not want to see the same level of mass displacement.
Former U.S. Ambassador Manuel Rocha is accused of working for Cuba for decades. Attorney General Merrick Garland.
To betray that trust by falsely pledging loyalty to the United States while serving a foreign power is a crime that will be met with the full force of the Justice Department.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refreshed.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A group of GOP lawmakers are looking to dissolve the state's election commission ahead of next year's presidential election. The bill was released by Republican Representative Dan Knodel and 10 other representatives. Under the bill, the Wisconsin Elections Commission would dissolve and all elections-related duties would go to the Secretary of State. The Republican-led legislature would then have final say over any election issue made by the Secretary of State. If passed by the legislature, it is almost certain to be vetoed by Governor Evers. Airports around Wisconsin are getting money for safety and infrastructure upgrades. The Federal Aviation Administration is giving out $38 million in airport improvement grants. The money will upgrade runways, terminals, and roads. There are also plans for sustainability projects. The grants are part of a growing list of Wisconsin projects as part of the bipartisan infrastructure law. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Timeout.
Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Cloudy skies overnight with a chance for snow. Lows around 29. Southerly winds around 5 miles an hour. Snow likely tomorrow. High of 38. A dusting of snow overnight through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Patrick was way behind on his IRS taxes.
I was in way over my head. The total amount ended up being somewhere just over $30,000. $30,000.
Then the IRS came to collect.
Started getting letter after letter. A lien had been filed against me. They were going to basically, like, hang me completely out to dry.
He had to do something.
That's when I reached out to Optima Tax Relief.
Patrick's life quickly got a lot easier.
It was very easy. Pretty much hands off, you know. They picked up the ball and ran with it.
And how'd it go?
I couldn't believe it. I had to ask, like, two or three times. I saved an incredible amount of money.
How does Patrick feel about Optima?
Couldn't be happier. They definitely helped me. Optima Tax Relief. The best place to call. They're the best in the business.
Do what Patrick did and call Optima Tax Relief for a free consultation. Call 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460.
Optima Tax Relief.
Testimonial from an actual client. Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Medfilm Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, let me tell you what's happening in Letitia James's case in New York City. Remember, there was a gag order preventing Trump from criticizing or attacking the clerk. It was suspended briefly. He attacked her again. He attacked the judge. Now there is a gag order back reimposed by the Court of Appeals, prohibiting his attacking the court staff, including the clerk and the judge. So what do you think Trump did? He now has attacked Judge Engoron's wife because technically, he says, she's not named in the gag order. And here's what he said, and then let me tell you the remedy in my view, and also one way to put a stop to this. He attacked her, said she's no good, and she's been posting things, nasty, bad things about him on social media. That is false. She doesn't post anything. There's no judge's spouse going to post anything. The origin of that story is there is a right-wing activist named Laura Loomer. And Laura Loomer posted on social media that Engoron's wife had posted these bad things that, in fact, were posted by others. Laura Loomer lied about it. Trump then picked that up and attacked Engoron's wife. Now, within the mud bath, which is the right wing, it's very, very easy for somebody to give Trump cover, lie about something, and then Trump likes that or reposts it, retweets it, and says, see, and this is bad, and then he claims, I wasn't the one who did it. They've got to put a stop to this. You cannot possibly envision everybody he could attack. For instance, if you added the wife, there'll be children, there'll be relatives. One way to handle this, and this is something none of these judges have done, and I understand why, but they may want to start thinking about it. Believe it or not, Trump is out on bail in these cases. I'm talking about the criminal cases, not the civil case. He's not out on bail in the civil case, but in the criminal cases, he's out on bail. If and when he attacks a judge or the relative of a judge or a prosecutor in the criminal cases, what would normally happen if you or I did it, or even somebody who committed a crime and had no influence at all and no money, they would put him in jail, not because of a gag order. There wouldn't be a gag order. It'd be because he violated the conditions of his bail. You're not supposed to attack court personnel and judges and their families. So when he attacked Judge Chutnik in Washington, D.C., where he attacks Fannie Willis, who's the prosecutor in Atlanta, those judges could revoke his bail. Sometimes people are out on personal recognizance. Sometimes they put up some sum of money. The reason they haven't is he's running for president. But I think when it comes to these kinds of threats, enough's enough. Now, in the case of Judge Engoron, there is nothing, no bail, because it's a civil case. However, and this should probably come from the Court of Appeals, not Engoron, so it doesn't look self-serving. However, what a Court of Appeals could do is essentially use the criteria of bail prohibitions and say very generally or broadly, if Trump attacks any court staff, any of their relatives, or anybody who reasonably could be seen as close to the court staff, he will be put in jail for 5 days or 10 days, or he will be deemed to violate this gag order and leave it up to Engoron to do it. This is intolerable. If they add the wife, he'll go after the kids. If they have the kids, he'll go after the nieces and nephews and publish their addresses and phone numbers. We're going to the line. John of Boaz, my friend. Thanks for calling, John. What's in your mind today?
Hi. Matt, do you know what we're doing with this Republican Party? Why don't we give Bernie Sanders a call?
Yeah. What, you want him to join the Republican Party or what?
Well, okay. Well, if you think of Trump and who's this guy from Florida? Who's the governor from
DeSantis.
Florida? Those DeSantis. Two guys, they are liars. They are. What about this? This court has enough power to throw a contempt of court at Trump.
Right. Right. Yeah, no, you're hitting the nail on the head. And I leave Bernie out of it. Bernie's a good man. Bernie's not, you know, he's not, I suspect he won't even run for re-election given his age. But in any event, for contempt of court, you have to have a gag order that he violates. By continuing to violate the gag order in a sneaky, oblique way, for instance, going after spouses, going after relatives, going after kids, Jack Smith, remember, had to sell his house, and he's under 24-hour security, and his wife and kids. And Trump has attacked his wife. If that happened, and remember, that is a physical, that is a criminal case, so he's out on bail. If that happened to anyone else, they'd be in jail right now. Anyone else. What they're trying to do is bend over backwards to look like they're not somehow censoring him. And maybe he is hoping that they put him in jail so a mob comes down to try to spring him. He's a sick, sick individual. What I have no patience for are the people who are still going to vote for him, but they know better. They know better. People, businessmen, lawyers, doctors. There's some of them out there. You know who they are. You know some of them. This is going to end up getting somebody killed. You had somebody go and try to kill Tanya Chutkan. You had somebody go in Cincinnati to try to kill FBI agents. Trump is doing this on purpose. It may be that one of these judges in the criminal cases is going to have to say, Mr. Trump, stand up, make him stand up and say, you have been doing this and you have, and if you violate it again in any sense, attack or call attention to a member of the court staff, you will be put in that holding cell for 5 days. And if you do it again, it'll be 30 days. And then do it and put the Secret Service up in a cell next to him so they can keep an eye on him. The civil case in New York is different and more difficult because you're not out on bail in a civil case. But if you violate a gag order, that is contempt. And there's a thing called criminal contempt and civil contempt. Criminal contempt requires a jury trial, which would take months to do, unless the contempt is flagrant in the presence of the judge. If a guy says, F you, judge, you can put him in jail. But if he violates a gag order and is criminal, you want to put him in jail, you have to have a trial. What could be done is that the Court of Appeals enters it, not Engoron, a blanket gag order that's very, very broad. And if he violates it, start criminal contempt proceedings against him. But he's continuing to do this with Fannie Willis, with Tanya Chutkan and Jack Smith. And I think his bail should be revoked in those jurisdictions. We're going to the lines. Andrew of Detroit, my friend. Thanks for calling, Andrew. What's in your mind today?
Hey, I said months ago when he started all this nonsense that I believe they're afraid, the judges are afraid that this will rise through the appellate courts up to the Supreme Court. And knowing those tarantulas in there, they might go along with him. Yeah, it's his First Amendment rights. But maybe they're going to wait till something is so egregious that even the Supreme Court wouldn't side with it. So, you know, sooner or later, he is going to hang himself with his words. And I think that's what they're waiting for, Matt.
They might, Andrew, but here's the problem. Here's the concern I have. What if the cataclysmic event they're waiting for is somebody gets murdered? We can't have that. We don't want it. We have the anomalous circumstance that we have a guy running for president who sadly was the president at one time with Russian collusion and Comey attacking Hillary Clinton and all that, and did a great deal to damage the country, and now is ahead in the polls in the Republican primary. Although latest polls show Biden inching ahead of him in a general election, but in the Republican primary. And so I agree with you. They want something much more clear cut. I agree with you. It's a good insight. But what's more clear cut could end up being murder. And frankly, I think he wants that. You must understand he's a sociopath. He may even be a psychopath. I'll tell you, there's a thing called argumentative early onset dementia, argumentative. And you've seen there's some TV advertisements and commercials for certain kinds of care facilities and all that. But I have known a number of people with dementia, and some of them are quite docile. Some of them, you know, they smile, they sleep, they watch TV, and they have a very flat affect. But there's some who are argumentative, and some will hit people, scream, curse, argue at the drop of a hat. Trump is showing the signs of early onset argumentative dementia. Remember, Trump is only 3.5 years younger than Biden. Trump will be in his 80s if he were elected again. So there are many people in their late 70s and early 80s who I know who have had early onset dementia. Trump has it. Biden does not. Biden stuttered. He's in great command of himself. He's perfectly physically. He's good. And thank God he's calling the shots right now, given the Middle East, given Ukraine, given China, given everything he's facing. But Trump has early onset argumentative dementia. And he, during January 6th, remember that in 2021, January 6th, he sat chuckling in front of the TV. Go get him. And he wouldn't call off the dogs. He would not call them off, no matter. Sean Hannity called them. This one called them. Don Trump Jr. called them. All of them lying now and saying that he did the right thing. He didn't do the right thing. He wanted to see someone killed. You've got to get this through your heads out there if you are a Republican actually thinking of voting for Trump again. He takes pleasure in seeing someone killed. Part of it, and you know, I'm not a psychologist, I'm not going to get into shrinking his head. I mean, part of it is he didn't go to Vietnam and he lied about his bone spurs, but he's always been fascinated with the idea of people being killed as long as he himself wasn't the one being killed. But the guy, you know, to say that you're going to attack the judge's wife, that's a mafia tactic. That's a mafia tactic. Attack the judge's wife because she's not mentioned in the gag order. There isn't a basic sense of decency, responsibility, humanity to that. That's a cruel and sadistic thing. And I've said this before on the air, and I'll say it again now. Three very eminent psychologists, and remember, or psychiatrists actually, but remember one thing, they were doing this without examining him, so you can take it for that what it's worth, but they said that he's a sadonarcissist. He's a narcissist, but he has a sadistic streak to him. The way he treats women, the way he handles women, the tone of voice with women, he likes to see people injured. A sadist takes physical pleasure in the suffering of others. And that is what he is doing. And these judges had better figure out how to protect the broader mass of his targets. I'll tell you what, coming up, Mike Johnson, whose name I don't even like to mention, you will not believe the foreword to the book that he wrote.
The Shaw, WAUK.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Well, I won't.
Welcome back to Match Point Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789.
Well, Mike Johnson, yes, that Mike Johnson, the speaker who snuck in. There was a bit of jujitsu, a bit of judo by the Freedom Caucus. They squeezed Kevin McCarthy out because he had done a deal with the Democrats. They squeezed Tom Emmer out because they said they wouldn't vote for him on the floor. And Tom Emmer had been called a rhino by Trump. I still don't know why the Democrats didn't go to Emmer and agree to give him the extra votes, but they didn't. He was a moderate. So then they got their guy. They got Mike Johnson. The least of his sins is that he says he doesn't have a bank account. I don't believe it. Somebody's depositing his check somewhere. But he's not financially transparent. He's also not transparent at all. He denies that there's separation of church and state. He would be a disaster if he ever got into executive authority. I'm deeply concerned that Trump might pick him as his VP. And if not, the scoundrel will be around 4 years from now to make trouble. But salt this away in the back of your minds. Here's what he just did. Mike Johnson wrote the foreword to a book and promoted it. It's a book on conspiracy theories against the Democrats. But it described poor voters. Here's how it describes it. Here's how he describes it. As unsophisticated and susceptible to government dependency. Now, let me tell you something in this forward. If you are thinking of voting for president or vice president, and let me tell you something, this guy Johnson is only one heartbeat behind Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris is one heartbeat behind Joe Biden, then Kamala Harris, and then Mike Johnson. Over any senator, over any cabinet member, any general, over anybody. Johnson. He's not qualified. He does not believe in our Constitution. But more importantly, what kind of a speaker do you want who adopts these words? Poor voters are unsophisticated and susceptible to government dependency. Well, yeah, the Affordable Care Act, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, unions that can get fair wages, environmental protections, consumer protections. Yeah, they are. They're not the only ones. I am too, and so are you. But to divide people up like that, it was very reminiscent of Mitt Romney when he ran. Remember when he said something like, the 45% are takers and everybody else is a giver. Maybe it's the other way around. This instinct in the Republican Party, and it's not shared by all Republicans, but this instinct in the Republican Party to denigrate what they call poor people And by poor people, this is not a scientific statement about what the poverty level is. This is about average people. Average people. And you frankly have to be very, very afraid that if a guy like Mike Johnson ever gets into more power than he has, and he already has quite a bit, would do as much or more damage long-term to this country as Trump. Trump is the worst, I get it, but he's also getting on in years, and he has early onset argumentative dementia. Mike Johnson is younger. He hath the lean and hungry look. He hath the sly and lean and hungry look. I don't trust his eyes. And he has said that in a book. Forward to a book. Poor people are unsophisticated. What's that, a crime to be unsophisticated? Susceptible to government dependency. He's very sneakily and slyly trying to suggest that the government dependency is welfare. But there isn't much welfare anymore. There truly is not. He's describing as welfare the Affordable Care Act, Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, and environmental and consumer protections and other protections. Protections from the EEOC that not be racially discriminated against in firing or based on your gender. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about the whole infrastructure of modern American government. That is what he is talking about. And he isn't the only weirdo in the Republican Party, although he has more power and may be getting more power than the average Republican. There's another guy, the chairman of the Florida Republican Party. His name is Christian Ziegler. Christian Ziegler is a arch conservative. He is married to a woman who is the co-founder of Moms for Liberty. She has said publicly that public schools are indoctrination centers for the radical left, and she wants to bring religious values into them. So this is a Republican power couple. Okay. Except for one thing. Christian Ziegler is currently under investigation in Florida for rape and sexual battery. And he's the chairman of the Republican Party. And I haven't heard DeSantis or anybody else or Trump say boo about it. You know, there's a certain amount of hypocrisy. I mean, look, everybody's human. People say things. I get all that. But at some point, how do you have a chairman of your party in Florida be investigated for rape, and he goes around saying the kind of things he does? How do you have the speaker of your house, who says he's a compassionate guy and all this, and he says that poor people are susceptible to government dependency and they're unsophisticated, and who denies the separation of church and state? And as Liz Cheney has pointed out, he is also one of the architects of overturning the 2020 election. One of the architects, architecting with Texas the brief that tried to overturn it, ignoring all the court decisions. Coming up, a lot of news and weather. And how about this? This Johnson fellow also now says he's going to impeach Joe Biden.
My ground, and I won't back down. No, I won't.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw.
540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
There's excitement surrounding Carroll University basketball this year. Head coach Lindsey Schultz and the Pioneer women are fired up to deliver another winning season in the CCIW. You can catch all the action of every Carroll women's home game right here. Join Don Brown as he takes you from tip-off through all the game excitement on the Shaw, WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, and the Civic Media app.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.